Hello, all of my lovelies. Welcome back to the new podcast, Effed Up True Crime. So, I finally managed to get a new microphone. Hopefully, the sound quality is better than yesterday's was. I found out my darling 7-year-old child messed around with the last one. And when I went to listen back to the previous podcast, I heard that there was a little bit of interruption. So hopefully that is over and done with. Okay, so if you're new to this podcast or to my pages, hop over onto Facebook and look up Effed Up True Crime under KL Lee, True Crime Author, and give us a follow. Or you can look me up on Instagram and Twitter. And feel free to send us a friend request too. Also, I have a new book called Mummy, I Thought You Loved Me coming out next month, so 29th of July. And the links for that and a quick look into what we will be covering in that book will be put up on the page also. So let's get into today's case, shall we? All right, so today we're covering the Andrea Yates case, a case that indeed shocked the world. It's the mother who killed her 5 children. So let's dive in. So Andrea was born on July 2nd, 1964 in Houston, Texas. And despite suffering from minor depression throughout her teen years, Andrea actually accomplished a lot. She was captain of the swim team and she was also valedictorian of her class. But she was also known to be an absolute perfectionist bordering on OCD. Once she finished school, she completed a 2-year prep nursing program and graduated in 1986, and she went on to work as a nurse for the next few years. But in 1989, she met Rusty. Now, Rusty is the man who would be her future husband and the father to all 5 children. Now, due to the religious beliefs, the pair decided that they would not go on to use any form of birth control once married. And they were going to have as many children as God had intended for them. So Noah, after they were married, Noah, the first child, was born in February 1994. And it was around that time that Rusty had accepted a job offer down in Florida with NASA. And it was a big job. It was an important job. So the small family went on to relocate down in Seminole, backwards day today I am, where in Florida, where they moved into a small trailer, which was all right because there was only 3 of them at the time and Rusty was rarely home. He was always at work, it's been said. And then baby Luke was born on the 15th of February in 99. Paul was born on 13th of September in 97 and baby Luke was born on 15th of February 99. So up until that point, Andrea, her depression was very much non-existent. She was still the perfectionist, still making sure everything was done. But So we've got Noah, John, Paul, Luke. So it was Luke. After Luke, the 4th child, it was when her depression took hold. And she also spiraled into a psychosis following the birth. So it's definitely way more than postpartum could ever be. So by then they'd left their trailer and they were living in a motorhome, which was only 350 square feet. So it must have been tough on them to live in such a small space with kids, you'd be on top of one another for sure. And since Andrea had already had been placed on antidepressants by this time and drugs for her psychosis, you can imagine how frustrated and upset and desperate she would have been by this stage with having everyone just on top of her and having to do everything, basically working as two parents. Things got really bad by June. So on June the 16th in 99, Rusty had come home and he found his wife seated in the corner of the room in a recliner, sitting up, and he could see that she'd chewed her fingers until they bled. Now, not her nails, her fingers. And she was, as she was sitting there, she was looking out, her expression absolutely blank, void, nothing in there. And I don't know, she must have looked better by the end of the night, because the next day he goes on to go to work. And at this time they'd been staying at her parents' house, whether it was a break from the tiny camper, I don't know, but they were. And they were staying with Andrea's parents, and her father was suffering with dementia. So by this point, Andrea isn't coping at all. And voices in her head began telling her that she should harm her children. While at the parents' house, one day she took the following day, she took between 40 and 50 of her father's sleeping pills because she wanted to end it all. She begged for it to end. Unfortunately, it was just still the beginning of this absolute downward spiral. She was taken off to hospital, given charcoal, liquid charcoal, to bring up the medications. But later on, looking back at this point, Andrea actually had stated that she'd been thinking about and being told in her head for 2 years prior to this, to the murders, that she needed to kill her children, and that she'd been thinking about killing her children. She explained at that point she couldn't bring herself to do it. So she thought that killing herself and these suicide attempts would make everything come to an end and would be a much better result, which you've got to agree. You know, you'd much rather see the mother. You don't even want to see the mother, because clearly she's got some issues, but seeing that a mother's killed herself rather than killing her five children is, in my opinion, a much better decision, but still sad. But it was after this suicide attempt that she was committed to a hospital, psych hospital, where they tried to get the doses of her medication right to help her through this psychosis and postpartum depression. It wasn't long before she was released, which is something that happens quite often in this case. She would be taken in, meds work for a couple of days, look, she's looking up, let's release her. So when she was released, it's not clear if she stopped taking her medication after leaving, but she did one day, not too long after, say that she begged Rusty to let her die as she held a knife up to her neck. So following that incident, once again she was hospitalized and once again given a cocktail of medications, and one for the psychosis called Haldol, an antipsychotic drug. And immediately her condition improved with this drug. And she was released again. Yes, it had a great effect on her, but I don't think she was ready to be released in any of these situations. Looking over this, it felt like she was just kicked to the side, to be honest with you. Can't be bothered dealing with you anymore. We'll just give you what you want, do this and get out. But a lot of the American hospitals and systems, they do this due to the fact that there's no funding, or there's no the insurance won't cover something. Or this is why I'm so glad I'm in Australia, because yes, some of the stuff we do have to pay for, like the machines that my daughters use can come up to $7,500 for her diabetes, but her hospital admissions are free, her hospital treatments are free, her medication only costs us $100 a month rather than, you know, $100 a box like in some cases over in the States. So back to the case, Andrea's case. Knowing she was struggling, even though she'd been released and improving, knowing she was struggling with living within the motorhome, Rusty finally decided that it was time to move the family into a house. And once they did, Andrea seemed to be stable, and she actually seemed happy and able to look after her children at that point of time, as well as putting dinner on the table and everything else a wife back then that was meant to do. You know, I mean, it's only 20 years ago, but still, you know, the movements haven't really come in until, you know, since then. They've been there, burning bras and everything, but it's really been stated since then. Anyway, Yates's first psychiatrist, Dr. Eileen Starbranch, testified at the trial that she urged both Rusty and Andrea to stop having children, to not have any more, as Andrea would definitely suffer from further psychotic depression that's triggered by birth. But ignoring that information and that, the doctor basically begging, only 5 weeks later, after she was last let go from the hospital, she conceived their last child, Mary. Now, I saw a quick interview, I'm going off here, but I saw a quick interview today where Rusty had said, oh, look, we decided to go for another child because we saw just how fast the medication had worked last time. We knew what meds to use, we knew when to use them. The only problem is the future doctor did not put her back on those meds for whatever reason. So Andrea was not given the antipsychotic meds. She was given other meds like Effexor and everything, which is what I'm on, but that only covers depression. I've used that since postpartum depression and still continue to use it, but it would not cover psychosis, no way. Anyway, so beautiful baby Mary, because she was just beautiful. I will put up photos on the podcast page, Effed Up True Crime, of the children, because they're just beautiful. So Mary was born on 30th of November in 2000. And after the birth of Mary, Andrea seemed to be coping with the children. From what we've seen, though, it looks like she's actually just put forward the image that she's coping and nothing else. And that wasn't true whatsoever. Everything came to a head on March 12th of 2001 when Andrea's father passed away. She was very close with her father. And from that day, Andrea stopped taking her medications. And she began self-mutilation, self-harm with knives, scissors, and whatever else she could find that was sharp. And she even in that time stopped breastfeeding Mary, which wasn't something she did with the others. So she was pulling away. Anyway, she became so delusional that once again she had to be hospitalized, where she was treated and released yet again. And by May that same year, she was at home in very much a catatonic state. Even with all of this, from the outside, the family looked like friends claiming that they looked like any other normal American family. And they seemed to be happy to all of those that surrounded them. But we all know, reading cases and looking at these true crime, we all know that we don't know what happens in someone's home. We don't know what's behind closed doors. Anyway, so not not even their friends and family, no one knew the state the family was in because they kept projecting the perfect image. And when they would go to doctor's appointments, they'd be like, "No, she's fine. I'm fine." She would tell the doctors basically what they wanted to hear. So as I said, I will post photos up on the Effed Up True Crime Facebook page, Instagram, and Twitter. Yes, we got it all going since yesterday, guys. I know that I told you I would, so I did. Just so you two can see for yourself just how precious these babies were. They were very cute. They were all just so young and very cute. So now, reading over the statements that Andrea had herself made, she said that she drowned the children one by one in the bathtub, in the family bathtub at the house. She also stated that she started with her younger sons, John, Paul, and Luke. And she said that she did that because she knew that they would be less likely to put up a fight against her and would be easier to drown. Devastating. And once they had passed away in the tub, she took Mary, the six-month-old baby, and drowned Mary, and she left her in the tub. But as she was drowning Mary, Noah, the eldest boy, who I think was seven from memory, so a little seven-year-old walked in, you know, asking, "Mummy, what are you doing, and what's wrong with Mary?" And it was only moments later that Noah realized what was going on, and the poor little lad, he ran. He tried to escape from the home. He knew that he was fighting for his life. But unfortunately, the poor little lad didn't get far. He knew what was coming, and he was absolutely terrified, and Andrea caught him. But as this is what absolutely kills me, as a mum, this really hurt my heart for this kid when I read this. When she dragged him towards the bathtub, he kept yelling at her, "Mummy, I'll be good. Mummy, I'll be good." Oh my goodness. Just can't even envision it. But unfortunately, it didn't do anything. It didn't make her change her mind. And Angela put him in the tub and she drowned him as Mary floated face down in the tub beside him. Andrea then proceeded to lay the children out on the parents on her bed. And apparently they looked as if they were just peacefully sleeping. John, one of the younger ones, was known as the best big brother ever. Even though he wasn't the oldest, he was known as the best big brother ever, especially to Mary. And Andrea placed Mary in the crook of his arm, and it just looked like they were napping together, which, you know, you'd like to think that he's protecting her. When the children were in the bed and covered up, for whatever reason, she actually left Noah in the tub, face down. She didn't attempt to move him. After it was all said and done, Andrea called the police, or the dispatcher, and she told the dispatcher that she was ill and that she needed a police officer at the house right away. But she wouldn't tell the dispatcher why she needed the officers at the house. The dispatcher asked her a few times what was going on, why did she need the police, but again, and she would just, Andrea would just calmly state that she needed them to come to the house, and that was it. Once they arrived, Yates confessed that she, oh, what happened here? She waited, oh yeah, that's right. Yates confessed further that she waited for Rusty to leave for work because she knew that if she tried to harm the children while he was there, he wouldn't have let it happen. That's according to her. We'll get into that after. I got some questions about that part. 8 minutes after she placed the 911 call and had hung up, Andrea called Rusty and told him to come home. In a recent interview, he said that he knew he had to come home with how stern Andrea's voice was over the phone. So he also stated that he could never have imagined what he would have been faced with when arriving home that day. And when he pulled up, he saw the chaos and hopped out and he began screaming, "Andrea, you finally did it." So he knew. He knew that it could have happened, which it frustrates the crap out of me, because why, if you're saying you finally did it, it means that it was in your head that you had thought at one point of time that your wife could kill your children. So why leave them there? Especially since that day she wasn't mentally stable. So, you know, he would have known that it was probably not a good idea. To my surprise, and probably the rest of the world, Rusty has said that he views his wife, or now ex-wife, as a victim and not a criminal. I tell you, he must be one hell of a forgiving man, because I couldn't do it. Not at all. Regardless of mental capacity or depression or psychosis, I couldn't find it in myself to forgive my so-called partner for killing my children at all. But Officer Frank Stumpo, a man who adorns a very thick New York accent, was one of the first officers to arrive on the crime scene. He actually didn't know what he was walking into. He was just told that he needed to show up to the house. But after he found out why he was there from another officer, he knew there and then that it would change his life forever, as it would anyone. So when Frank entered the house, he saw Andrea seated in the corner on a chair, staring into thin air. She never spoke to any of them while there. She didn't come out. She didn't snap out of it, basically. So Frank then moved through the house, checking each bedroom one by one. So Frank stated that when he had walked into the bedroom, saw one of the children, he honestly thought it was a doll that was looking up at him from the bed. It wasn't until he placed his hand on the child's forehead, it's not stated which child, that he realized that it wasn't a child and it wasn't a doll, it was a child. And so curious, he pulled the blanket away inch by inch, and he went into a deep shock, because with every inch he pulled back, another dead body would be revealed to him. So clearly the blanket had been over their heads, the one child. I'm guessing that that maybe baby Mary's head was up because he thought it was a doll. But that's just my opinion. Or thoughts. But then he moved down to the bathroom after counting how many bodies there were, where he found Noah face down in the bathtub, and it was still filled with water and he was floating. By this time, Rusty was desperate to enter the house. He was desperate to see his wife and the extent of the scene, but of course the officers wouldn't allow this to happen. As you can imagine, it's now a crime scene, and any good officer wouldn't want that scene disturbed so that the evidence is kept protected. So when the exact extent of the situation, and that he was told that all five were gone, Rusty fell to the ground. His face was buried in the grass as he cried and wailed. It wasn't long before the area was covered with reporters and lookers-on, of course. So it isn't the type of case that happens every day. And even if you don't follow true crime, and even if you aren't obsessed with it like some of us are, curiosity would still get the better of you, and you would want to know what, when, and why. Simple human nature. You'd be looking at different news stations going, how, why would someone do this? So it was then that Frank, Officer Frank, was the one to take her in to, for her to be questioned and charged. And he was so angry. And he said to her, wow, look at this, you're famous. But it wasn't in a nice little matter. He was mad. And she didn't respond. The only thing, the only good thing to come out of this horrid case, in my opinion, is that the world was alerted to postpartum psychosis and depression. Before this time, psychiatrists have said that there wasn't a lot of discussion about it openly, and that not even they, the psychiatrists, were fully educated on this subject. But since this case, that's all changed, which could have very well saved many children since this happened 19 years ago. So when Andrea was behind bars, a psychiatrist went in to see her. And Andrea stated she believed the television was talking to her and that there were voices telling her what she needed to do, which was kill the children. She also believed that the numbers 666 to represent the devil were actually imprinted on her head under her hair. And she would always scratch the part where she believed these numbers were imprinted. She also stated that the voices coming from the television would tell her that she was a bad person, that she was a bad mother, and that she should be the one punished after killing the children. And she even went on to believe that she herself was Satan and that Satan was within her. So Andrea also even believed that one of her children would become a serial killer. She believed that one of her sons was going to become a homosexual prostitute, and she then went on to believe that each one of her children was going to grow up to be evil. And she honestly, she went with this without a doubt. She thought it was going to happen, and that if she was to let them live, they would all go to hell. So there was no changing her mind in the end, even though she tried with the suicide attempts to take herself out of the equation, rather than hurting them. It just became too much and the voices became too loud. So Andrea then went on to be the most hated woman, not only in the country, but on planet Earth. There was also even talk that Rusty should have faced punishment for the murders of these children. The public believed that he had a lot. He of course would have known that she wasn't fit to be around her children, especially that morning, and yet he went to work leaving them with her. And then there's the fact that throughout the court case he defended her and he smiled a lot at the trial. I was going through a lot of court TV stuff. I don't know if it was court TV channel, but it was on YouTube anyway. And he smiled a lot, which frustrated, it infuriated everyone. There was even talk that Rusty should have faced punishment for the murders, for the actual murders. They must have wanted him up on manslaughter charges or something. And the public believed that he had to have known that she needed to be in a hospital. Hell, even I wanted to punch his smug face at times while watching these. True or not, Rusty seemed to like the attention that came along with these murders. And he did every interview he was given or he was offered. And he showed up on numerous TV shows, articles for papers, radio interviews, and the whole thing was a circus in the end. It wasn't about the children. So while all of this was going on, Rusty, in August of 2004, while defending his wife, filed for divorce, stating that he and Yates had not lived together as a married couple since the day of the murders. No shit. The divorce was granted on March 17th, 2005, after which Rusty began dating his then second wife, Laura Arnold. They went on to marry March 25th, 2006, so around the time where this second trial was going on, and they had a son together. But she filed for divorce in 2015, and I don't really have much more information on that one. I did look, believe me. I want to know why. So if I find out, I'll do a quick update. The prosecutors for the state wanted to apply for the death sentence. They wanted her to be put to death. Andrea, that is, not the new wife. So, of course, Andrea went for the not guilty by reason of insanity, which would have fit in this case, if you ask me. But just 3 months after the charges were laid, she was deemed competent for trial, to stand trial. So they must have been given her a lot of meds and psychotherapy to be able to get her ready for trial. Some felt it wasn't a form of psychosis that caused her to kill the five children rather than it being a payback situation for her husband, Rusty, for making them live such a simple life when he had the money to do more, for making, you know, for making them live in a bus, and for making them live, for her to be in charge of the homeschooling, and making Andrea pretty much do everything for those children. He used the excuse of they don't need material things. God didn't make us to have material things. I just think he was a cheapskate, but that's just me. But as payback, when it comes to payback, I don't think, in my opinion, I don't think that's the case. I do think that the psychosis and the voices had everything to do with it. The trial went on for 3 weeks. However, it only took a jury 3 hours to come back with a verdict. She was found guilty of capital murder. And as the verdict was read aloud, Rusty broke down into tears. And they were streaming down his face with his head in his hands. And he was wailing that his ex-wife that killed his children was found guilty. Yeah, I don't think there's enough bourbon in the world to drink to make that make sense in my head. So the jury did reject the death penalty. So she was sentenced to life in prison. Now, throughout that trial, a psychiatrist by the name of Park Deeks got up on the stand. His job basically as a psychiatrist at that time, he wasn't actually one to advise on the television show Law and Order. And throughout this trial, while up on the stand, he stated there was an episode on the very week before the murders regarding a woman that wanted to start again. So she drowned her children in a tub. And he said that it was only, and as stated, he said it was only on a week prior to the murders, and that in his opinion, she was watched this, and that's where she got the idea from. Just to add that, yes, she was a big fan of this show and she never missed an episode. Now, when the trial was over, a sentence handed down, the defense did some digging, and it turned out there was no episode on this subject ever made. And the defense even was put in contact with the creator of Law and Order, Dick Wolf, and he did say it's never been written, it's never been done, we've never done this episode, I don't know what's going on. So with that, unfortunately, this tiny thing, there was a new hope for the defense, because someone who was supposed to be a professional got up on the stand and lied through his teeth. So the defense filed for a mistrial immediately after finding this out. But of course, the motion was denied, thank goodness. And she was sent to a Mountain View unit, the state, part of the state psychiatric centers. And it was a hospital for the criminally insane. So even though it was all overruled and the defense was told no mistrial, the defense came up with 19 points of error from the previous trial of Andrea Yates. The defense did manage to get a new trial set. And they tried to have every charge thrown out of court, but that wasn't going to happen. They did manage to get Andrea moved over to a state hospital away from the previous one where the worst of the worst were housed. The criminally insane, the criminally, the worst of the worst. In June 2006, to the day, exactly 5 years after the murders, the second trial began. So after a month of testimony and things being thrown out, the jury then went back and deliberated for 13 hours over a 3-day period. Now, before coming out with the verdict, the jury asked the defense for photographs of the children, and they were given, and the jury went back, and it turned out that the jurors who had been crying had actually wanted the photos so that they could have 2 minutes of silence for each child to honor their memory and legacy. And I think that is an absolutely beautiful sentiment. It means they were taking this seriously, and it meant that they were looking out for these kids, in my opinion. To everyone's surprise, the jurors came back with a verdict of not guilty by reason of insanity. Oh, the trouble for me is when this was read out, I couldn't believe how relieved and happy Rusty was that she was found not guilty. And I asked the question, was he glad this tragedy happened? Was he happy to be broken off from his responsibilities? Is this why he's so jolly and smiling? He doesn't have to look after his children anymore? Is that what's going, I have a lot of questions. But I don't even know if I could handle talking to him, so I haven't tried. He's never going to comment on it anyway. He would deny it, so there's not much point anyway. Although the verdict didn't mean she was going to, although the verdict was not guilty, it didn't mean she was going to be free to walk the streets. So she is now under the care of the Department of State Health Services, and she is currently residing at Kerrville State Hospital in Texas, I think it is, pretty sure it is. There has been no time put on how long she will be in the state's care. And I hope to hell they give her a hysterectomy if they ever do choose to let her go, because, or at least keep her there long enough to have gone through menopause, because she does not deserve to have children ever again. Never. There has been a couple of interviews with attorneys that were involved in the case, and they've said that the state will never let her go. So hopefully she will be in this facility for the rest of her life. And if there is any updates, I will make sure that I do a podcast on that, updating you with that, and I will make sure to label it as number two of this podcast. So there you go, boys and girls. As I said, if there's any updates in the case, I will do a review. But for now, I think we need to forget about this woman and just remember the children. It's like in any situation where there is a killer and a victim. The killer is always known by name, and yet rarely is the victim remembered. The killer is glorified where the victim is forgotten. So these kids are the ones that deserve to have their names out there, and not Andrea Yates. But unfortunately, she is a household name over in the States. And I don't think that anyone will ever other than relatives and people close to this case, they're not going to remember those poor little babies. But as I said, I will put up photos on the web pages, on the social media sites. So I want to thank you all for being here today, and it totally warms my heart. Right at this very moment, I haven't decided what the next podcast will be based on, but you can bet your ass it will be messed the hell up. Nasty, nasty stuff. So thank you again, and I'll totally be back soon. And the moment I decide what one will come next, I'll be sure to post it on my effed up true crime pages on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, and Instagram. Okay, but bye-bye for now. Bye.